I'm going to kind of continue on the today. It actually starts when they exit that door here for us and for them. And I really hope to encourage us with the scripture with practical points and the practicality of how do I, as an individual, stay dedicated within the kingdom of God. But also as parents, how do I help my children not only to be dedicated this morning today, but to stay dedicated. And there's really a beautiful scripture that I dug into and looked at, and it really encouraged me. So please hear my heart. It's not a preaching or this is what you should do. I'm reading it and saying, Brett, this is what you should do. And I hope that it encourages us all. And so we're going to look at, I think Christoph touched on it a couple of weeks ago, just before Daniel's sermon. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to read from verse 12, but if you can't see, bear with me or open your Bible, it'd probably be better. Make notes, highlight, do what you need to do. But it's Paul writing, and he's writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he was encouraging them to stay faithful. Encouraging them by saying, listen, the day of the Lord is coming. But don't be anxious. You guys are not people of the dark. It's not going to come to you as a surprise. You've known all the signs. I've talked to you about the signs. But just in this time of the Lord coming, He's coming, just continue to be faithful. So it's kind of this motivation from verse 1 till 12 of just to stay faithful. And faithful and dedicated is pretty much one and the same. Staying faithful or staying dedicated is pretty similar. And then he goes on from verse 12 and he gives us very practical help of how to stay dedicated or how to raise my children to hopefully, with the hope and the desire, that they would not just be dedicated on a Sunday, but that we would continue dedicating them, leading them, teaching them, raising them to be dedicated in a lifestyle, in a very broken, dark world, where they too will not be caught by surprise, where they too will realize that there is a God and He's coming back. Okay, so it really encouraged me, the scripture. I'm going to read from verse 12. So I'm going to read through it. I'm going to say one or two things, and then I'm going to refer back to it, where we're going to just dig into a couple of the points that hopefully will help us as we leave here today. So from verse 12, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Admonish, just for those, this is a, die Engels is wuch, heis. Admonish is warn, stir up, discipline. If you wanted to know what admonish means, it's hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You can go to the next slide. From verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong with wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ or in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. And so we're gonna unpack that slightly a little bit later. But the key word here in this is faithful. And if you wanted to give a synonym, is possibly dedicated. But being faithful or being dedicated has visible evidence. And it always has been. If you look at any aspect of being dedicated, there is visible evidence. And that's a good thing. And it's been like that from the very beginning. When in the Old Testament, they had all these rituals and traditions and all these things that they had to do. And one of the rituals and traditions and the things that they had to do, if they were a child of God or being set apart as a child of God, the men weren't allowed to cut the hair. So it was this evidence, visible evidence, that God had said, listen, I want people to see that you are set apart from this world. Now, just for the record, my hair is not long because of that. I think my wife enjoys my hair and I have long hair at the moment, but it's got nothing to do with that. I'm set apart. I'm a New Testament believer, so hopefully the visible evidence in my life would be the way that I love one another, or the fruit in my life. It's got nothing to do with the Old Testament. But the reality is that being dedicated has evidence. And it has been like that from the beginning. So that the people would see in those days with the long hair, said, that guy or that one, he is set apart for God. But today is the same. And the question is what are we dedicated to, and what evidence do we have? And so by design, we are all dedicated people. It's just how it works. The question is, what are we dedicated to? And to be honest with you, it's no secret. We can flows and talk and all this nice stuff, but the reality is that evidence remains evidence. And so it's very clear when you meet me or see someone or see, you can very clearly see what are they dedicated to. And we see it throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, individuals that were clearly dedicated to the Lord. And there was evidence. Think of David and Saul. He was being chased by Saul for years. He hadn't done nothing wrong. He got opportunity to spear this Saul, and he didn't. Why not? His answer was, I love the Lord. This one is the Lord's. I can't do it because of why? Because of his dedication to Saul? No. Because of his dedication to the Lord. And there was physical evidence. We see Paul in the prison. We see Moses in the desert. We see Joshua and Caleb with the spies. We see Joseph in the prison. And then when he was second in charge, we see Jesus in the desert. And the reality of dedication, it's most clearly seen when things are quite tough, when there is suffering. And so I'm gonna refer back to the scripture. Please go back to verse 12. And then we're going to go back to the scripture and say, okay, but how do I stay dedicated? How does God help me to be parents, to help my children stay dedicated? And when I read through the scripture again, especially from a father's side, I thought, yo, Lord, help me to apply these very practical points. And so we're going to go through that scripture again, and we're going to see, is there any way that we can apply this practically? And so we're going to sort of start from the beginning. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Paul is talking about some sort of spiritual authority here. And he's saying that we as children of God, we need to respect and have some sort of submission, respect to spiritual authority. The reality is, if my child sees that I don't respect or submit under anyone, how is he going to, he or she, submit well under anyone? And so each point, please try and refer it back to me with my child and him being, he's seeing this demonstration in my life as well. But if you do not have children, it's okay. This applies to you as well. It really does. And so that's the first one, some sort of submission. Are my children seeing in me or knowing how true submission looks to authority? And to be honest with you, in today's age, submission struggles, especially in a Western society. It really struggles. But he's saying there's a very good reason for this submission. And he says, warn those, where am I at now? Hold in highest regard of their work, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Now, this word warn, ne, is a bit different to skel. What is skel in Africa, in English? I'm trying to get the word. I asked my wife this morning. I couldn't. Skel is you shout, you stop it. Hou op, money,
Los!
Okay, so that also is a reality. But warn is backed up with love, saying, listen, I love you so much. If you continue in this way, it's going to be dangerous for you. So warn and scale. Now, to be honest with you, most of the times, excel net. Scold. Thank you, dictionary, Google. Scold. So warn and scale. I'm just going to touch through very quickly. Encourage, build up. Catch your children or people in your workplace. So maybe I'm going to put a couple of categories here. If you've got children, you yourself, people around you, the body of Christ. Refer to these few groups of people as we go through the scripture. Encourage and build up. So one of my mentors long ago taught me this, and I forget about it often, and I think it's probably one of the most valuable things that I could do with my children that I don't do often enough, is to catch them doing things that are good and acknowledging it. If you ask how my house is going most of the time, I'm constantly saying, stop this, do that, don't do that, how up with that, how up with thee, and so I carry on. And so often, they are doing good things. They are doing things that is pretty with his brother and his this and his that. But am I catching them doing good things? And when I see them doing good things, do I acknowledge? And am I building up? Am I encouraging them? Care, we know that. We need to be tender and we need to care for them. So I'm going to get to a couple of other practical points, but I just want to put this in retrospect. So if I can do this with my children, I think it's going to go better in my house. Be patient. Rejoice always, it says there. Now this rejoice means to delight in, to be glad, to rejoice. Now Brett struggles with this often. My wife does it well. But just to give you some sort of design of the brain, and I think we've touched on it a few times, if your child does not feel that you are delighting in your child, it's good for you to see your child. So lucky to see you today. There's something that happens in the brain. I can't remember which side. Christoph will be able to help. But there's something that happens in the brain where if that child feels like, experiences that my parent or someone delights in seeing me, the other half of the brain develops better. So physically, they've done the stats, they've shown as a young child. And I remember Keith and Jana, the first time we had the conversation in Wimpy, they said they would like to dedicate Hannah Rose. And we had a bit of a conversation, and I remember right there, Keith was with Hannah Rose, sitting at the table. And Hannah would look at him with his big eyes. And Keith's natural response was, and the baby's face went, And so what does the baby experience when that happened? I'm wanted. I'm treasured. My father is delighting in me. And often I miss that. Often I don't do that. Often when my children wake up, they walk in, am I like, this will lack om jou te sien? And it really is. But sometimes I lose the art of expressing that, to be honest with you. I lose the art of expressing that. And this is not just a nice principle. Stats show that this is a real thing that happens within the brain. If you're wondering and you want to dig deeper into it, go read the other half of Church, the way that brain works. And this side is your joy tank is being filled. Rejoice always, your joy tank. So take a teenager. If nothing's lacquer, they don't want anything to do with it. Now, lacquer is now on one side, but there's got to be some sort of, it's lacquer to be here. I want to be with my family. I want to be because I know that I'm treasured, that I'm delighted in. It's really a beautiful thing. May the Lord help us. And may we constantly fill our children's or our colleagues or our wives or our friends or the body. May we continually fill the joy tank. That when we see you, it's lacquer to see you. And it really is. And don't get me wrong. If it's not, ask the Lord for help, please. Don't fake it. Please ask the Lord for help. That it would really be a delight to see one another. And that when you walk in, you would see that I really am glad to see you. And And when you do that, it says in the brain what happens is, and I'm going to call it the joy tank if that's okay. When this joy tank is kind of full, where Hannah Rose's joy tank is full because the Father is saying, oh, it's such a beautiful pleasure to see you and be with you. At a later age, they are much more receptive of what you want to teach them. They take it in. And take any teenager, and please, it's not even a teenager, my children as well. I can talk till I'm blue with principles, do this, don't do that. And often it is not taken in because it might not be a safe space, or they are not experiencing that this is good. But if their joy tank is kind of full, it does something in the brain. And I'm not going to get into detail because I actually don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about the scripture. But it does something where they receive that truth that transforms them truly. And this is just one aspect. Anyways, moving on. So please, rejoice always. Verse 16. It's not just a nice Christian saying. It's really something that you need to do. Go Google what the definition of rejoice is to delight in. And not only in children, but in your Lord. And if your children are seeing that you rejoice in your Lord, or you delight in your God, they are seeing this as a lifestyle and seeing, oh, this is where true joy comes from. I want that because I know what the world is offering. But I'm seeing something in my parents, and it's true. Pray continually. I can't stress that enough, friends. In 2025, be honest with yourself where you're sitting right now. How often are you consistently praying for your children? How often are you praying for your spouse? How often are you praying for one another? Not only just on a Wednesday at cell, but in between. For your friends, not just when things are going bad and they send a message on a group, but in between. This is called continually. I think if we would be a praying congregation for one another spontaneously, for our children, for one another, for what the Lord desires, there's got to be a breakthrough in whichever area. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. We need to teach our children this. That it needs to get a bit tough in their life. Please, don't try and put them in water, what is cotton. And when the circumstances is not ideal, how do we teach them to be thankful? With the reality, not just the thankful principle, with the reality that we're saying at the end of this, that God is faithful. He's really, really good. Regardless of what I and you and me and he and she experiences, sometimes we need to know that God is good and that he sees it in a bigger picture, that he has his way, that he is sovereign. And how do we build thankfulness in our children with that principle in mind? Not with, okay, I need to be thankful just because I need to be thankful because I know I've heard this somewhere. No. God has really got a plan. And how do we be thankful in that? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. You as a family, me as an individual, how often do I lean on my own understanding? And when I do, I don't stay dedicated. But when the Spirit leads me, when he really helps me, when it shows me left or right, stop or go, this is the only way that I truly stay dedicated. It really does. And I think, to be honest with you, it is probably one of the main reasons within the Western church throughout, I say Western because that's where I am, that's the framework, that's the people I'm dealing with, seeing my brother in Canada, New Zealand, these kind of places, is that that we lean on our own understanding and we don't wait on the Lord. We are not led by the Spirit. We talk about it and we do things within congregation at times that is Spirit-filled, but the everyday living lifestyle is not always led in the Spirit, led by God, truly hearing his voice and saying, this is what he's saying to me. I'm going to do it. And to be honest with you, I know this is a really real thing. Like, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it again. It's not just something that we read about. God really is amongst his people. He's really with us. He's really made a way for me to receive His Spirit and then really to be led by His Spirit in the smallest details and in the largest details. It's not just something that I read about. He really wants to lead us. He wants to speak us. May we be in a place of saying, please speak to me and lead me. Because when I lean on my own understanding and I do what I think is best, I might be quenching the Spirit. And it's not good for my children, it's not good for me, it's not good for you. May we be led in the Spirit and may we not quench the Spirit. And then it continues. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. How often do I want to kind of hide the strange stuff from my children? It's spiritual. Prophecies is spiritual. The things of the Bible is spiritual. How do we expose our children to that? But how do we test it to make sure that it is biblical and not strange fire? That it is truly biblical. And how do our children get raised in this? That when one day they are a child of God and they are 20, 30, whatever their age may be, and they get exposed to these kind of things, it's not an exposure. It's completely normal. It's part of their lifestyle. How do we raise our children in that? Reject every kind of evil. Friends, we know that there is all sorts of evil. It says there, if you go look up the definition of reject, it says don't allow it in your home, amongst your family. And I'm not going to get into what types of evil there are. The Bible talks about them all over and over. But you as parents, I think me, myself, personally, I need to start there by, I need to reject the evil that is influencing me. And I need to live a lifestyle. And I need to reject it. It has no part in my life. And if that is the case, then I'm going to be helping my children. But also when they reject all kinds of evil as parents, take up that authority. And then it says, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. So sanctifying means made clean, made holy, being set apart for His purposes, His way, His kingdom. Through and through, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord. I'm going to stop there, and I'm just going to give one or two extra points that I got from a couple of people here. The way that, and I think it was so pretty for me. I asked someone for some points who has children out the house, and that I see there's fruit in their children's life, and I said, just give me a couple of points. What did you do over the years? Because I see your children are dedicated. And all those points, and I'm gonna say one or two of them, but they actually are just said in all those scriptures that we read. It's just different language. And it's actually very pretty. It's beautiful to see. And so a couple of points. You know, your children have to see some sort of lifestyle in your life that confirms the kingdom, that reveals the kingdom, that they experience something other than that. Otherwise, you are just a person with all the Christian words that is living a worldly lifestyle. That's all that it is. And our children need to see biblical parents where their lifestyle confirms that. They need to see that I am dependent on God in whichever aspect. There needs to be a dependence, and they need to know that my way forward, what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, when I'm doing it, is because the Lord has led me, and I'm scared to lean on my own understanding, son. I've made many troubles before. I'm dependent on my God, and my lifestyle needs to represent that. And there is so many others. I think one crucial thing is that us as men, myself as father, don't get it right. You know, a visible broken heart for what breaks God's heart. Are they seeing that I'm broken about people that are lost, people that are very far from God, and it hurts Him? And are they seeing that in me, or are they seeing just, ons moet hierdie besigheid nou reg kry, ons moet ons ding doen, and we need to just cup on, and we just need to do this, and this needs to happen like this, and we know. Or are they seeing something? Yes, my Father somehow has a heart for people that don't know God and a visible brokenness. I think one crucial thing is, and I experienced this yesterday, I was a bit frustrated yesterday and went through a bit of a frustration patch can call it what you want. And Noah was there, my son, and I sat down with him. I said, yes, Iman, ek is jammer. I'm so sorry. I'm just frustrated. You need to pray for me, please. And I'm really struggling within myself. I'm really just a bit frustrated and tired and all these things. And being vulnerable and open enough to share my weak points, my imperfections, my sin with my child and say, listen, I'm struggling with this. And there needs to be some sort of that, because when I do that, I'm demonstrating transparent. And the Bible says we need to do that. And if they get brought up in that way, teach them in the way that that should go, and they will not depart from it. If that becomes part of their framework, I can almost guarantee you, along with the help of God, who is faithful, that they should stay dedicated. But as man, I've just got to be, I can see, there's no sin in me. I've just got to be strong in front of my children. And yeah, we do. But showing your own imperfections, or being real anyways with your own imperfections, is a healthy thing. And then the last one, two last ones that I just want to highlight here, and may the Lord help me with this, is fun. To be fun with our children. To be fun with our colleagues. To be fun with one another. And it's crucial. It builds something so beautiful in my children, and also just that joy tank. I've seen it often and often. When I want to express something that is strong on my heart to my son, that is serious and that is good for him, whether it's a warning or a building up or one of those things that we find in this, if I find him in a place where it's just, okay, I'm going to talk to you about this, and it's not, I've seen if I have to play rugby with him or do something fun, and afterwards we're sitting under the tree and we're tired, oh, he's open. It's a safe place. His joy tank is there. And whatever God wants to speak to him, whether he's using me, it transforms. It really does. So have fun with your children. And I think in today's age, 2025, be with. Make every effort to make time for your children. Really, if there's one thing that I've seen, is that this world is trying to do it. It's trying to steal every drop, because it is very, very valuable. It is treasure. Think of a pirate movie. They go through storms and this and that and battles and you name it. They do all this stuff. For what reason? They want to get to the treasure. And so let us also battle for that. Let us make every effort to prioritize, to know when is yes, when is stop, when is go, when is sport, when is work, when is not. And how do I take this treasure called time with my child? And how do I make use of it? Because if you do not plan, and if you do not make effort, I can almost guarantee you that the ways of this world will flood and you will just get sucked up into this incredible pace that we are living in today. And it is. It is a fast pace. But in the midst of that, we need to see that this treasure with our children called time is very valuable, and we need to fight for it. We need to really fight for it. And so my goal or my prayer for my children, and hopefully for you as individuals, or you for your children or me personally, is that as a result of these things, that I would be able to live a life intimate with God. That's what I desire for my child. Yes, I want him to stay dedicated, but one day I really want him personally to be intimate with his God. That is the reason for dedication. Not just so that he can be sent to heaven and one day he's fine, or not just so that he can be a better person, because he needs to come to that place where Adam and Eve was before sin. That he walks through the cool of the day and he knows his God. So that's the one. The other one is that my child would earnestly and honestly and personally learn Jesus' teachings. I want him to be raised as a dedicated child of God, and that hopefully he would learn the teachings himself. But for now, while they are young, I need to teach them. So that they would hopefully take his teachings and become like him. Be a man or a woman who walk in this world, who display or represent our King that saved us. that they would become something like him, and then that they would continue his work, that they would be a dedicated, and if you had to ask me, a whole person is summed up in these four elements. And I want my child, and I want you, and I want me personally to be a whole person. And it's intimate with him, learning his teachings, becoming like him, and continuing his work. And if you were wondering what is his work, Jesus came and there was one reason: to reveal his Father and his kingdom and help people to follow. It's in a nutshell. He came and he spoke to his crowds to reveal the Father's heart and the love and the reason and the kingdom of God and the way that the kingdom of God works. And then he helped people to follow and say, this is how you do it. And so I want to continue that work, and I want my children to continue that work, because unfortunately, we need to. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but because of sin, it is now part of our picture. I wish it weren't. But because of the fall of man and sin in this world, people that is separated from their Creator and their God, Jesus' work needs to continue. And that's part of being a dedicated child of God. Then the last one, and I'm going to finish off with this. Paul comes to a point at the end and he says, these are all practical points that I want you to practice. Stay dedicated in, because the time is coming and it's not going to be a surprise to you. Pray continually. Do all these things. But friends, to be honest with you, I don't know about you, but I struggle at times. And he says there's a key here, and the key is also faithfulness. But it's not your or my faithfulness. It is seen in verse 24. Please go to verse 24 there. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So he's giving you this whole list, and he's saying, here, do this. And then at the end, he's saying, wait, hold on. The one who is calling you to do this, to live this way, he's going to do it. Now, how does that look? Because I don't want us to get into a striving mode yet to say, okay, if I tick this list off with my children, everything's going to go well. No, because unfortunately, self-centeredness has crept into our life. And it becomes even the motivation of why I want to do Christian things. I want to read the Bible so that I can grow. No, I want to read the Bible because I want to get to know my God. I want to see his faithfulness. I want to realize that he's truly given me his Spirit. And so when he says that he is faithful, or the one who calls me to this, he is faithful and he will do it. Someone else said it in this way, and his name is John. He said, you are the branches and he is the vine. When you are connected to him, the faithfulness of the vine, the reality of the vine, the life of the vine is seen through the branches. And the branches is just connected. And so yes, there is a response, there is a discipline, there's an action. But the reality is that I cannot do it in my own strength because it is short-lived. God has to help me. And the only way is when I'm connected constantly, consistently to the vine, so that his fruit may be a reality in my life. That his faithfulness will have visible evidence in my life, that it will be fruit, that it will be loving one another, that it will be praying continually, that it will be warning my children when the warning is correct, that it will be all those things that we read there. And so I just want to encourage you and urge you to see that 1 Thessalonians 5, yes, there's practical things. But may the Lord help us to constantly live those points in our house as a result of him in us. I think one of the greatest prayers that I constantly pray is, Lord, please have your way with me today. I just want to be a branch attached. And I know that we've heard this many, many times. So this morning, I just want to encourage us again. And I want to encourage us to respond as we take communion and say, Lord, here I am. I just want to be a branch. I want to raise my children dedicated. But at the end of the day, I cannot control this. I can practice, but help me. And that he may help us with our motivation, because we can also get self-centered in the midst of this whole list Oh, I want to do it so that I can have a good family, so that my children will be dedicated. If you had to know how God feels about your children, how the vine really desires to raise your children, we would easily stay connected. We would seek His scriptures because we are seeking Him. We would continue His work, not because we've got a void or desire to have some sort of purpose. No, because we see God's heart for people. And when I see His heart for people, that's why I want to continue His work. Not because I desire some sort of purpose, but because I see my God and His desire. And so may we remove all the self-centeredness out of this scripture and say, oh, I see what you're saying, Lord. But you who is faithful, will you do it in me? Help me just to stay connected. Help me to walk intimately with you consistently. What do I need to do so that you can have your way through me, in our family, at home, in my workplace? And so I want to finish off with this last scripture, just as a declaration, as we take communion. Because if you have to ask me, I want these lists to be in front of me, but I can only do it with the Lord's help, and I've said that now many times, and I think I can't stress it enough. But in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of this, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy or sanctified, and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So all of that stuff, it's good, but that's not the true and proper worship. That's a result of being a living sacrifice. God, I'm a branch connected. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing and perfect will. Please go back to that one scripture where it talks about this is the will of Jesus Christ. I think it's on the second page, if I can remember correctly. Where am I? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. The only way is this. Then you will know. Then you will be able. Is if I continually give myself as a living sacrifice. And this is a weird concept for us. But we need to try and say, Lord, sure, I want you to have me. Even if it's a prayer and you don't feel it and experience it, just say, Lord, would you have your way with me today? I really just want to be connected to you. I want to be a branch. Show me left or right where I need to go. And so maybe if the worship team can come to the front and those that can dish out the communion, I just want to finish with this scripture. You can go to the verse 24. And so as we take communion, for me personally, and maybe there's a lot of practical points that is countered with actually, I can't do it, I need help. And I don't know always how God works that way, but He does. Is that as we take communion, that this scripture would be the reality. That raising dedicated children, being a dedicated child of God, looking forward and not looking back, forgetting about our past and the things that is keeping us. There's only one hope. There's only one way. And it might be, no, it can't be so easy. It can't be so straightforward. But I've experienced in my own life that it is really the reality. The one who He calls you is faithful. The one who died on the cross and made a way for me to have His Spirit that really wants to help me, really wants to do it through me, can do it. It's not just a saying or a nice biblical principle. It is really a real thing. So my heart is in this, is that we would dedicate ourselves again. That we would dedicate our children continually. And the way to stay dedicated, the way to continue dedicate our children, the one who calls you is faithful. He can do it. And if it sounds too easy for you, that's okay. If it doesn't make sense, that's also okay. Ask the Lord to help. Just going to take communion, and then after that we'll just finish off with a song. The song that we sang last, He is faithful, His goodness is really running after me, it's the only way. And so as we take communion, as we take this bread, but if I look back, I see that He has His way. So let's take the bread, and I'm just going to read this scripture again. Is faithful, and He will do it. And so Father, we really want to just offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We take this as a symbol of Your body, of what You did on the cross. We know that as a result of the finished work of the cross, we have place at Your table. Your Spirit is within us if we are reborn and that we are following. And as a result of that, we can be close to You. We can be that branch connected, where we can experience Your faithfulness and see that You are doing it. Because in our own strength, in our striving, we can't, Lord. It's only as a result of the finished work of the cross. Thank You for Your body that was pulled apart for us, Lord. And so we take this cup as well, the symbol of Your blood that has been shed. And I want to read it again. The one who is calls you is faithful. And He will do it. He will help you to stay a dedicated child of God, where there will be true evidence. Let's take the cup. Lord Jesus, thank You that You want to help us as Your body to live a surrendered life unto You, where You can have Your way. And when we so often want to lean on our own understanding, I really ask that You will help us just to take a step back and say, Lord, please help me. Thank You that You are the one that calls, and that You are faithful to do it. And if that doesn't always make sense, and I want to kind of just mechanize it and make it work in my own way, I pray that You would have the patience and the grace to not do it, but to lean on Your understanding and to be a branch connected to the vine. That in the midst of that, and as a result of that, we'd be able to live all these points that we are seeing in 1 Thessalonians 5. That it would not be a list to try and accomplish, but it would be a lifestyle that is lived as a result of You in us, as a result of Your faithfulness, as a result of what You have done, and Your Spirit. Help us to submit and to surrender, so that would be a reality. And thank You for the finished work of the cross, Lord. I don't always grasp it, but I do experience it, and I pray that all of us here will experience something of that. Your desire to have Your way through us. So that we would be dedicated people, set apart for Your purposes and Your ways and Your kingdom. Where there will be visible evidence that displays Your splendor and shows Your kingdom. In our children's lives, in our own lives, in the body of Christ here. Thank You that we can pray this in Jesus' name as a result of the finished work of the cross. Amen.